Welcome to a podcast of The Mike Novak Show. You can listen to Mike live Sunday mornings from 9 to 11 Central on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Button.
Did you hit the button?
I hit the button. Okay, hold on. Let me try one more time.
I'm here for you.
All right. No, I know you are.
Oh, no.
Watch this. Here we go. It goes like this. Nope.
Nope.
Oh.
It doesn't go like nothing.
I'm going to shut down your little thing here. I'm going to open up mine. And hey, welcome to the Mike Novak Show.
Good morning.
Hey. All right. So the computers are already against us here.
Yes, mm-hmm. This has been an all day, all morning thing.
Oh, good. Let's bring that up.
Good friends are hard to find. I've always wanted to do that.
Really?
I sing in a hallway when I'm leaving. So.
All right.
Something, something, something climbs. Something and something see. Something, something beneath the something. Everybody.
I don't know if I can remember the words.
Heather, if you can't remember the words, who can? Really?
This is what I'm saying.
Okay. All right. No, just keep talking here. I'm almost ready here because I have a feeling that any second we're going to actually be able to do the beginning of the show.
Even with all this weird stuff happening, let me tell you, I feel more important when I'm on your show than when I'm doing mine.
Really now?
I'm just a clown on mine. When I come here, I'm like, man, this is the kind of big time.
Guest. You've gone from being the whimsical, oafish kind of fun. Like, look at me, I'm funny. Listen to me, I'm funny.
Yeah, my shirt says oafish.
I know.
All right, shall we try this?
You're going to do it?
In three, two, one.
Nope.
Oh.
Did it disappear?
No, it's just nothing's playing here, pal.
Nope.
Oh. Can I move over to by your shoulder? Can I do that?
Yeah.
Can I just give it a shot? All right. Wow.
Well, now the two mics are going to gather around the mic and do the huddle and try to get everything working properly.
Wow, we are off to a rousing start here. This is, how come we were able to do the... You're going to try it again? Wait. Let me
try this.
All right. We are.
Yes, they are. Folks, you got two guys who like being in the big chair in front of the computer now. This is kind of entertaining to watch.
What did you do there, Mikey?
Well, I don't know.
That's Mike Sanders, by the way.
Yes,
he's joined us in the studio.
Well, see, what I had to do is the database kind of had a weird thing happen to it. So I had to take all the stuff for our town and put it in different categories. And I was hoping, since your stuff never really, like, you know, changes, your opening's always kind of the same, it would just work. I tried to warn you by not telling you anything.
Okay, well, it's better. He's right. It's better that I don't know.
It is
when I come in here
because you'll freak if I,
Yeah. I'm just totally. I'll melt down.
I just assumed it would work.
Coming down in three, two, and one.
Nope.
No.
Nope.
Really?
Nope.
No, we've got... So I want to tell you that the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by the Care of Trees.
Their business is people and their love for trees.
Oh. And that's it right now.
Is that the only billboard one we got?
That's our only sponsor at the moment.
Okay.
Didn't we discuss playing Radar Love?
We love the Care of Trees.
We do. We adore the Care of Trees.
We worship and adore them.
Let's try Radar Love as a music video.
So,
do we have that on a CD? Here's the other thing.
The question I want to know is, how am I going to play my other commercials? But
we're gonna wing it. We're gonna see what we got here.
Oh boy!
You got those scripts saved, babe?
Nope.
I tell you what, we call
Ron Cowgill from Mighty House because DR Services is on here, and we'll have him do the commercial over the phone.
Okay.
Do his own. That'll work. So, he's a good guy.
Welcome, everybody.
Oh my gosh.
Hey, at least we started with a laugh.
Did we stop feeding the hamsters or something that are powering the station?
You know,
I can testify that there was a large hard drive that was making horrendous noises earlier this week.
Yes.
Horrendous.
Kidding me?
No, I'm not.
That's not a good sign.
And there was a whole, you know, shelf full of them, and you'd walk by the room and you'd hear this, like, dying sound, electronics dying. And
I thought that was my soul this morning.
Our IT folks were, you know, working on it and everything. They were able to move.
Where are the IT folks today? They overslept because
that's
it's
right.
daylight savings time.
They don't feel that
without an S, Mr. Sanders.
Yeah,
look,
it's daylight saving
time.
I don't come here to learn anything. I just regurgitate stuff I found online.
It's obvious you haven't.
that's the show. That's our town. I saw it online.
You know, I came up with this great idea though, driving in. And listening to your show, Our Town, and you guys were talking about daylight saving time, and I was thinking, generally, as we know, the Republicans want to suppress voting. This is their whole way of trying to win elections, not on the issues, but you know, take the state of Pennsylvania and let's change the rules so that you know, the winner doesn't take all anymore, and then we divvy it up so that, you know, it's going to be a close election. And, you know, that will come back and bite them in the butt someday too. You hope it would. And the other thing is try to make it really, really hard to vote because they're so concerned about voter fraud, which doesn't exist in America. Pretty much in the way that they think it does, the voter fraud that occurs in America.
In those electronic machines.
That's where the voter fraud is. So,
I hate those things.
Here's my idea.
What's that?
We change back to regular time, standard time, on election day. Isn't that a great idea? And we just mess everybody up. And then have a special election so that one year we actually move the clocks forward instead of backward, but don't tell anybody. Just have it in the law so that we have millions of disenfranchised people who go to the polling place and it's closed because they have no idea what time it is really.
It's easier to hack a machine. It's just easier to hack
a machine. I don't know.
It
seems so easy to push daylight saving time through that... come on, let's do it on election day. I mean, we refuse to move our elections to the weekends where they make sense. You know, we've got this day. I don't know why we change over on Sunday to make it easy. Heck with that. Let's not make it easy. Let's make it hard. Let's ruin people's lives.
Now, see, Ernest James said something to me on the way out, and he thinks it's daylight savings time. Saving time.
Thank you.
Oh, gosh, whatever. That you should gain the hour of sleep Monday morning and lose the hour sleep Saturday night.
That makes sense to me.
See, then everybody wakes up on Monday refreshed.
Except Mike and I will all be in here in the morning suffering, but that's just because we work in radio. So
We suffer for our art here.
Is that what it is?
Yes.
No.
Yes. Yes.
Showbiz. Showbiz is my life. And I would hit the bell, but now
you
even
broke
my
bell.
I broke my bell.
Did you break
too.
The bell?
He was so frustrated.
Oh my God.
No, I didn't break it on purpose. This is that little thing.
I fixed that the last time.
I know.
Yes,
here,
did.
Give it to me. I got it.
All right. I don't know how to fix the dinger here.
I got this.
All right. You got the dinger? All right.
There's
so
a real thing
Mike's
here.
And their dingers.
So while Mike Sanders is fixing that, I should tell you that the second hour of the show, regardless of whether we have any control over the computer, and it looks like we don't, at least the microphone works. Yes, Heather.
You forgot a billboard. Back to Nature?
Nope.
All right. Well, they're on your list here.
I know.
Okay. Well, we like them, too.
We like them, too.
All right. Just
checking. I mean, you know, it's the way it works.
I just panicked for a second.
Certain sponsors run their course a certain length of the year.
That's cool. Well, no, just 12 minutes is a long time to wait for a billboard, so I wanted to make sure.
That in case they were listening, they...
Yes. That's... Exactly.
Oh. Whoa! Oh! How did you do that?
That's something works.
Oh, man. Something works.
See?
That's it.
That's how they pay me for all this extra fixing stuff I do when they give me the show.
So the second hour of the program, I'm very excited, and even if we don't have computers, Suzanne Malik McKenna will be here, former commissioner of the Chicago Department of the Environment, and we're going to talk about the environment, and we're going to talk about the fact that Mayor Rahm Emanuel has disbanded the Department of the Environment, which he claims is a good thing because he's going to take all that stuff and he's going to spread it out. It's going to spread it out. It's going to cost a lot less to deal with now, you know?
I can see that you buy this. You're buying this.
Totally. I am so on board with this. I am so on board.
Oh, I don't want to get on our huge Emanuel discussion because then it's going to get into the unions and the pensions and everything else.
Well, the pensions, you know, you can't just blame on Rahm Emanuel. You can blame it on all our legislators because we put it back and we put it back. You know, we promised the union workers their pensions. We said, okay, we're bargaining in good faith. You're bargaining in good faith. Here we go. You're going to get this. Don't worry. You're going to get this. And then we put off paying for it and we put off paying for it and we put off paying for it. And now we say, oh, guess what? We don't have the money. Oh, so sorry. We're going to renege on that promise because you know what? That promise was ridiculous anyway. You shouldn't have asked for so much because you were greedy back then when we had a standard of living in America. That was awfully selfish of you. So guess what? You're not going to get that.
Good planets are hard to find.
Thank you, Mike.
You're so serious. I see the veins in your neck. I love it. But you're right, though. You are absolutely right.
Well, did you see, I actually saw a television commercial that was complete propaganda regarding the pensions. And it's a woman holding her young child. And there's, some evil, you know, man kind of voice on the other side and saying that you need to pay your this and you need to pay that and taxes. And she goes, I just paid my taxes and la, la, la. And then the voice goes, I wasn't talking to you. And looks at, and it's, they zoom in slowly on the child.
Oh,
and then
God,
it says,
baby.
Reform pensions now. And my chin about hit the floor and I, became nauseated. I was like, wow. Okay, we're not going to pay the money, but we'll spend the money on the ad campaign to not have to pay the money.
And then
take all these people who had written agreements and everything, you know, was in good standing and they kept up their end of the deal.
Yep.
And now we'll put out all this propaganda to tear him down and not do what we said we were going to do in the first
place. So we're already getting a dirty look on Twitter.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah. It says, get to the gardening.
Yeah,
I want to hear
about your roses.
Well, actually, the roses are still blooming in my backyard, and my roses are blooming in front as well. I mean, if you live in the city, we haven't even had a frost in the city. I know people in the burbs have had several, but I'm waiting for a frost so I can harvest my Brussels sprouts in the community garden. I've just left them there because they taste sweeter after a little bit of a frost.
Really?
Yep. That's the best. And kale, same way. And so I've been waiting and waiting and waiting. And we've got all this beautiful weather. So, of course, Rick DeMaio will tell us about that at 9:30 or thereabouts, after 9:30. He wrote to me about the freakish weather this year.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got this thing that he sent to his students about where does it say here? The bizarre Halloween snowstorm that buried the Northeast could end up being at least the 11th billion-dollar weather disaster of 2011, which is a new record. More wild weather could be in the cards, according to a new report from the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. And then he gives that story, which is interesting. He says, freakish weather disasters from the sudden October snowstorm in the Northeast U.S. to record floods in Thailand are striking more often, and global warming is likely to spawn more. Now, see, you shouldn't use that term, global warming, because then some people just tune out all of a sudden.
Climate change.
climate, or as Rick says, climate variability.
Ooh. That sounds smarter.
Yeah, it is. It's likely to spawn more similar weather extremes at a huge cost, says a draft of the International Climate Report obtained by the Associated Press. The final draft of the report paints a wild future for a world already weary of weather catastrophes. Well, I'm just tired of computer catastrophes here, okay? And it will cost billions of dollars. The report says costs will rise and perhaps some locations will become increasingly marginal as places to live.
Hmm.
Like, I don't know, along the coast if you're flooded out. Like,
yeah,
middle of Texas if you're in a desert now. And, you know, if they continue to have that kind of weather there.
That's okay for Texas.
It says there is at least a 2 in 3 probability that climate extremes have already worsened because of man-made greenhouse gases. 2 out of 3 probability. And the thing is, you know, you got people saying, well, let's just gut the EPA because, you know, they cost us too much money. And this is going to cost us billions of dollars every time one of these climate things happen.
It's the only spaceship we have is the planet Earth.
Good planet.
Hey, a thing. Another thing.
Oh, don't worry about it. Let it go. Just let it chun-chun-chun. No, it sounds like the EPA.
She's got it. No, she's got it. The WAF fixed the bell. She has a thing. She's going to use a number 2 pencil.
Okay.
She's good.
It sounds like the ticker tape going off here. It's like my stock report is coming in.
Yes, and that is dead technology that doesn't work.
So there we
are. And the current technology, that does work, and the current technology doesn't. So what does that tell you?
So the reason Mike Sanders is here in studio,
yeah, I was wondering.
There was a reason.
Is because we mentioned it briefly last week, and WCPT is doing what we call the Holiday Harvest.
Yep.
It's going to be presented by Our Town and Mike Sanders and Julia Hsu and the Mike Novak Show with Heather Fry and Mike Novak. And we are doing this from the 1st of December through the 11th of December. And we don't have all the details yet. We're putting them together, but you can still go to my website, MikeNovak.net.
That's where I go.
I know.
That's right.
Every day.
Every day.
Just to check it out. To see if your name's there, right?
He likes his picture.
Yeah. I like the picture.
Mm-hmm.
It is a good picture of you.
I hate my pictures up there.
Oh, really? I like your pictures up there.
I think they're cute, but I know I have better ones, but I'm a girl, so I don't like any pictures of me. So there you go.
So what we're doing is we're working with Faith in Place. And, of course, they were on the show last week, mm-hmm. and you hear them on WCPT. We run announcements for them because they do a wonderful thing. Called the Winter Farmers Markets.
Mm-hmm.
And it's places you can go in the city and around the city to still get sustainable and fresh food during the winter when the regular farmers markets are closed. And they're going to lend us some of their drop-off points. Some of the places that they have the farmers markets are going to be drop-off points for our food drive. And we think there are going to be about 5 or 6 in the area.
At least.
So that, you know, you're not schlepping to one area just to drop off food. We want to make it easy for you. And we're doing our best to make the food delivered locally, which is why we don't have everything in place at the moment. You know, we're not putting it into a big tumbler and then, you know, shipping it off to China or something like that, or even, you know.
Which makes it more difficult when we have these meetings, we're talking about it. If we were just getting a food drive together, a food drive is easy. Getting a sustainable local food drive together and making it accessible for everyone to, you know, to do their part, that's tough.
Well, and I'm finding this out.
Yeah.
I talked to some of my friends in the food realm in Chicago, and I said, hey, we want to do a sustainable local food drive. And they said, a lot of them said, never heard of that before. And as Mike said to me last week, when he's doing a food drive, it's like, okay, what's in the back of the shelf I haven't eaten in 3 years? And you throw it in the box.
Yes, that's what you do.
A lot of people do that. Now, if you don't want to eat it, why should anybody else?
That's a very valid point.
Somebody might like it. I mean,
if they're desperate enough, they'll eat anything.
Cream of mushroom
Wow,
soup.
That's good for you.
Parts of palm.
No, wait. I love hearts of palm.
I do too, actually.
See?
Salad.
Look, I don't. So if I gave that to you, you'd eat it.
I'd be very happy.
Yeah, I'd take artichoke hearts and hearts of palm. No problem.
I've got some of those on the back of my shelf.
Now, I'm not.
Some people like find it in the shelf and they're like, what is this and how did it get here?
Yeah. That computer screen
just
is
turn in. It on.
Oh, okay. Okay, that
that's an easy fix.
Wow, that's better.
Yeah,
there we go.
Yeah, I don't have all your info up
you
yet.
You scared me for a second. It's like, oh, one more thing that's not working here. Okay, great. And if you're listening, if the management of the is listening, I'm not doing this to bust you. I'm doing it to tell you because it's not working. Okay,
yeah,
it's not working here.
I watched you click your music. And I watched it
three
disappear.
Times.
Yes,
three times.
Four.
As soon as you clicked it, it disappeared.
Yep.
So
there you go. But I can still play a CD, right?
You can play a CD,
and you have a bell to ding.
You know, we're really old school right here, right now.
I wish we had a record player. That'd be awesome.
I know how to cue vinyl.
Scratchy 78.
Yeah, I know how to cue vinyl.
Let's get back to the holiday harvest.
Yeah, you're going
to
get another tweet.
Yeah, I know. I probably already have. Listen, we did get a tweet, a good one. My Skinny Garden wrote that I hate that I missed Faith and Place last week. I heard one of their founders speak at Unity Temple Oak Park once. Great organization, and they are a great organization. And you can listen to that conversation by going to MikeNovak.net. We have podcasts. You can sign up on iTunes to get the, or you can just go online. You click on it, and you can listen to it.
Or download it.
Norman Goldman's got the app. I'm wondering, I don't even know how you would get an app, but I would love to have an app for this show.
A smartphone app?
Yeah. I wonder.
Everyone needs one of those now. Mm-hmm.
He's charging for podcasts now. I don't charge anything.
Nope, they're free.
Zero, baby. Zip.
You can call Norman. He's actually pretty accessible. He'll tell you.
Have you done
He's
that?
Actually
he just...
also quite nice.
Yes.
He's very, very personable.
He makes himself
and very,
very
nice. Yes. He's not egotistical and mean, and yeah, he's nice.
So back to the holiday harvest. What we found out, he's not mean like Novak. What we found out was that it can be really tricky to donate certain items. For instance, some food banks will not take produce of any kind, not even apples and potatoes, which you'd think, well, you know, how those don't spoil that easily. Well, they can spoil at some point. We're even checking into things like raisins and, you know, nuts. I think they pretty much always take, but, you know, it depends on who you talk to. So what we've started to do, and I want to thank Kathleen Thompson for doing this, my sweetie, who put together the page. If you go to MikeNovak.net and you see the big Holiday Harvest logo, click on that, and we're putting together a page that's going to help walk people through this.
Kind of a checklist.
Yeah, of things you can do, and it's a learning experience. I want folks to learn about what they can contribute in a sustainable way to our food drive. And we will have more information, including the specific drop-off locations, probably by next week. Mm-hmm. And she started this week with a tutorial here on, you know, the top of the list of wanted items at most food banks and pantries is non-perishable protein. And it's not an easy thing to find. Now, the usual suspects, she writes, are canned fish and chicken and peanut butter. It's difficult to get tuna that has been caught sustainably, as you know, probably know. That's a tricky one. It can be done. She had some of the companies that I wonder if she's got them up there. Let's see. Information about choosing canned tuna. Because I went to the store, one of the big stores in town, just to see if I could find the companies that made packaged sustainable tuna. Let's see here. Ah, here we go. American Tuna, Henry and Lisa's, and Oregon's Choice are all excellent choices. They're a little more expensive and somewhat harder to track down. You bet. I didn't see them at all.
Of course they are. I've never heard of
them.
I've never heard of them, sadly.
Where, you know,
that's the one I want.
The usual suspects are, you know, Chicken of the Sea,
Star-Kissed,
and Bumblebee. The big three. Yeah.
And they're all dolphin safe now, yes, but they're not sustainable?
Well, it's tricky. You really have to search hard to find out how they do it.
Well, one of the easy ways, if you're going to get involved with a sustainable food drive, is to actually go to the farmers markets, the drop-off locations, and purchase the food that's there and redonate it. So instead of going to your local grocery store trying to find the most, I don't know, sustainable thing you can amongst a sea of things that are not sustainable, is to go to the actual, like a farmer's market, buy it, and donate it there.
Well, that's what we're hoping with some of the, you know, if we happen to have one of the drop-off locations at the location of a Sunday farmer's winter farmer's market, I'm hoping people will do that. They'll just buy some stuff, turn around, throw it in, you know, and donate it to the cause. Now, so there's an article there you can read about. You click on the information about choosing canned tuna. What's interesting is that canned salmon is highly sustainable.
Really?
Yeah. It's almost all wild salmon, and it's less expensive than you think. We eat it at home. It tastes pretty darn good. So that might be a substitute. And by the way, as I see a phone call coming in, 773-838-9278, or post something on Twitter or Facebook about sustainable stuff. Help us out as we put this together. We're doing our research, but, you could help us out with this. Peanut butter, of course, with no hydrogenated oils and no sugar is a great choice. The sustainability is high because it's plant-based. I mean, anytime we're talking about animal-based.
Answer the phone.
Uh-oh. Answer the phone? Uh-oh. Did I do something bad?
Answer the phone.
Am I in trouble?
Here we go.
Hi, you're on the Mike Novak Show.
I was wondering if you're going to wear a fat suit for the food drive.
We'll do what we can.
Is this Mr. Cowgill?
It could be.
Yeah.
But, you know, Eddie Schwartz used to do that all the time, you know, for the holidays. And so just in keeping with the food drive, I thought, you know, Eddie's not with us anymore. But if you wear a fat suit, that would be bring the Eddie Schwartz back into the whole food drive thing.
Oh, now, see, do I have to hang up on you? I worked with Eddie Schwartz for a number of years.
Did he really wear a fat suit?
No. No.
Bye, Mike.
Wait, Mike.
What?
We brought you into the conversation earlier. I'm trying to remember what it was about.
Because we can't play his commercials.
Oh, that's right. Are you going to do a DR commercial for me here live on the phone?
Do it. It's a triple dog dare. Do it.
Give me something that DR is working on right now, and we'll count it towards your inventory.
Okay, we're going to insulate a basement on Friday.
Cool.
And air seal a basement and make sure that the air's not coming in and leaking in and making the floors cold. So we're going to clean up a basement and insulate it, make the windows and doors a little tighter so they don't have a bunch of heat loss this winter.
And where are you doing that?
I can't remember the client's name. Oh, no, Mike Novak.
It's true.
Here we go.
Rod's coming to my house, and I'm doing my due diligence, energy efficiency.
There you go.
I am. Ron explained something that was really cool to me because we've talked about this for several years, and I've talked about it on the air, and I've got a big balloon frame house, which is like living in the amphitheater when it used to exist, and it's cold in the winter, and the floor is extremely cold. And I said, Ron, what's that caused by? Because the basement's not that cold, really. Mm-hmm. The basement, I don't want the basement to freeze. And we keep the temperature down pretty low. We keep the thermostat real low. And I said, well, what's going on here? He says, well, it's a draft. I said, yeah, but, we've plugged some of the drafts in the windows. We've been caulking and doing things. And you explained, Ron, that...
Well, it's like wearing a skirt in the winter. You get that draft up through underneath there, things are going to be cold. If you wear a pair of pants, you tighten things up, then, you stay warmer.
Boom.
There we go. The point is that the hot air rises, it draws up cool air, but it's got to draw it from someplace. And it's taking all that, the gaps coming from the basement into the lower floor and pulling up the air through there. So if you stop that, then you're still going to have some heat loss, but it's not going to be as dramatic. Is that right, Ron?
That is correct. That is correct.
Oh, and if I can, just, on the phone, it's Ron Cowgill of Mighty House fame.
Yeah.
Left that part out, huh?
Yeah. Hey, and Ron, when's your show on there, Ron?
Saturdays from 7 to, what, about 10, somewhere in there?
Somewhere in there.
Yeah. All right, well, do me a favor. Come in here and fix this computer when you get a chance, okay?
All right, I'll be down there shortly.
All right, good. Talk to you, and I'll see you Friday.
Bring donuts.
Yes,
Friday.
All right.
I'll bring donuts.
Great.
Awesome. Bravo.
Would
love that, man.
And I think he's actually going to videotape it, too, so he can put it on his website. And I said, you got to give me a week to clean the junk out of the basement, okay, so we can do this.
Isn't that where terracotta goes to die, your basement?
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
To some degree. Well, actually, that's where plants go to die.
Ah!
I brought in a bunch of plants. Half of them are still sitting in the basement. And I got them under a light, and I put them right inside the door this time, because last year I put them in a corner and forgot they were there. And
aren't you the gardening guy?
I am the gardening guy. Hey, but the gardening guy has over 40 houseplants, all right? He's trying to keep track of all of them.
It's like children. Some slip through the cracks.
Whoa! And how many children do you have, Mike?
19, sir.
Yes, I know.
I have four.
Actually, you have 23, because a few slipped through the cracks.
Yeah, a few slipped through the cracks. Yeah. I don't like those kids.
It's so hard chasing one around. Good for you.
It's a thing.
So back to peanut butter.
Kids like peanut butter.
Well, they do. And the
salmon.
Only problem is that there are kids out there with peanut allergies. So sometimes other kinds of nut butters could work. So, but if they're not allergic, great source of protein. And then finally, and I think I mentioned this in a meeting that we had, and Mike said, huh?
Quinoa, I do that a lot.
Quinoa?
I don't know what that is.
Yeah. It's a South American seed. It's good in any dish where you usually use rice or couscous. Go ahead and say, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, great. it's not a grain. It contains whole protein, making it valuable to vegans, vegetarians, and others who are trying to increase the percentage of plant-based foods in their diets. It is a little bit more expensive than rice, about $2 to $4 per pound, depending on where you shop. But when you compare it to meat, it's a lot less expensive because it contains the protein. So that's the big deal about quinoa. Yes,
quinoa.
Heather?
One of our lovely Twitter followers, Honeycoop, just tweeted wildplanetfoods.com. Mm-hmm. And it is a website of wild, sustainably caught wild seafood. And the products names, and yeah, Wild Planet, apparently, and it looks quite informative and good. Wild Planet is super green, according to their website. So,
Wild Planet.
Wildplanet.com. So Wildplanetfoods.com.
Did you post that?
Yes, I did. It's on our Mike Novak Facebook page, and we retweeted the link.
Let's go ahead and vet that before we plug. I'm just kidding.
Why? I don't vet anything on this show. We just go with it. When it's live radio,
you just roll with it.
You just roll with it.
Quinoa is what you called it, right?
Quinoa.
I want to make sure I wrote that down.
What do you know how to spell it?
Well, I'll do it phonetically.
No, you'll never get it.
Okay.
It's Q U.
Oh, I had a K.
All right, I know. Q U I N O A.
See, that's too exotic
quinoa.
For me. I'm a Brooklyn kid. I grew up with rice and grits. So I mean, is there sustainable grits? Can we do that?
You know, that's an interesting question. I have no idea.
That is a food staple right
what
there.
What is a grit?
Grits. It's like, they like saving.
Fine. But what is it? Is it potato based? Is it corn? Where does the source of said grit come from? Because
I believe a grit is corn based, or is that corn meal, which is corn grit. I'm not really sure.
You know,
but there's
you
a
say
lot
you
of
know
it.
Grits.
But I love the taste. I love the. They taste like whatever you cooked them
I
with.
I had them once in South Carolina
put gravy
at a Waffle House.
What, yeah. Waffle House?
That was the only time I ever had grits in my life. They were good.
Do you have waffles here?
No.
Okay.
I would be surprised if Kathleen doesn't write us in a second to let us know what grits are, because she grew up in Oklahoma City. And
oh, well then.
So.
Look,
bring it.
If you're going to have a sustainable food drive, let me rice and grits, that will keep you fed, man. If you got you put some steak on or some fish or something like
but
that, whatever you cook it with.
We want natural rice. We wouldn't want, like, minute rice.
You wouldn't want that. No. But whatever you cook it with, it tastes like it.
So we are going to add more information each week on the site here, the Holiday Harvest page that I have at MikeNovak.net. The big Holiday Harvest show will be here. You and I are combining shows on that day.
Three big hours.
And I'm hoping that we can, I don't care how cold it is. This is where you got to go out in the parking lot with a microphone.
Wireless, baby.
And are they going to have us all grouped together, or are we all going to be at different locations reporting
to each other?
To be at different locations, but
that's
we don't
what
know.
I'm hoping too.
We'll see what happens. We could send you out to one of those, Heather, maybe, and Intrepid reporter Leah Petrusiak, and Julia Shue.
With Julia, yeah.
Fred Lady B.
Yeah. Fred Lady B, yeah. Ernest James, yeah.
Yeah, send them all out.
The whole cast of characters.
All I want to do is I want to see you guys, and like if you film yourselves, put your hand on your ear like you're a reporter, like, and say, the atmosphere out here is electric. Guys, you start off with every segment with that. That's what I
was thinking
hear.
Of having the real big, like, you know, powder puff headphones.
This is what I want
to
see.
A parade where you see the women all, like, you know, wrapped in the faux fur, and they're like, isn't it lovely, and the breath, you know. That was my envision of
see,
it, standing
cool.
in front of a giant thing of produce.
People
in my
are
parade
dropping
gear.
Off tons of food. The atmosphere out here is electric.
As God is my witness, I thought turkeys could fly.
It's going to be the greatest sustainable food drive ever.
And the idea will be on that day. I mean, we are doing the drive from the 1st to the 11th.
Mm-hmm. Grits is corn.
Hey, I guessed. It was a guess.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Honey Coop.
And my skinny garden.
And my skinny garden grits. Well, hers is grits equal corn. That's
okay.
Oh, wait.
Here we go.
And she writes, oh, quinoa puffs, great as a cereal, really great in warm milk with cinnamon. Quinoa puffs.
What would the mascot be? Like, I'm, you can't use a captain. You can't use a cuckoo bird. I'm like, what is that? I don't know what that would be.
I don't know either. But on the day of, we're going to ask people to drop off and be part of the show because we want the feeling to be electric.
Electric.
But you'll be able to do it between the 1st and the 11th at the various locations, which will be up there. On my website, but also chicagosprogressivetalk.com, and I would hope...
On our Facebook.
On Facebook, yep.
Yes.
On my Facebook and Mike's
account,
and
Facebook,
all the great places that you can find it. So there we go.
And if you're interested in what we're doing, you know, spread the word because it's a 10-day extravaganza. You know, it's not just going to be the day that we're airing it. It's going to be over the course of like 2 weeks. So, you know, make a trip of it. If you can't make it on that day we're airing it,
mm-hmm.
do it the day before.
If you
do
can
it the
only
day after.
Get little bits and pieces, get a little bit, donate a little bit more. If you have the time, thank you already. But
yeah, make it a neighborhood thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Community based.
Really. And we're serious about this. We hope, you know, that you will get on board and help us with this. People are hurting. Anything you can do, we're trying to get this donated locally. So we're kind of – what we hope is going to happen is that we have our hand on where this is going and we know where it's going. Mm-hmm. We see the results of it. We will have as much information about what we consider sustainable, what you can drop off. Keep following us. I will have another report next week, and Mike's going to be part of this, and we're all gearing towards December 4th for the big honkin' broadcast.
The radio show!
Yeah. And, you know, the atmosphere will be electric.
Electric.
Okay. Thanks for dropping in, Mr. Mike.
Thank you. So I'm going to go work on the computer, see if I can get your music up and going there.
That would be really, really nice.
If
you
not,
know.
I will definitely replace all of your elements with Radar Love.
I want to play Radar, the whole song. Listen to this. My buddy, Johnny Casserole.
Okay.
He's a buddy of mine. I play softball with him. He has a company called Johnny Casserole. Look it up, johnnycasserole.com.
All right.
And he delivers casseroles, and it's sustainable in that you actually get, you don't get you get a glass container or a Pyrex container, whatever, you know, you cook it in, and then you put a fee down, but you can swap it back and reuse. They're reusable, so
kind of like a propane tank, but with food.
Exactly. And he just texted me and said, quinoa is an ancient grain and is the only grain that is a complete protein.
All right, so quinoa with a Q.
With a Q.
Quinoa puffs.
So there you go. Quinoa
very,
puffs.
Very exciting. All right, all right, I'm out of here.
Go work on the computer. I want to be
a...
All right, thank you. Here's a tip from the Care of Trees. Well, the Northeast has already had a snowstorm, and you can bet that we're on nature's to-do list here in the Midwest. If you have mature trees in your yard, you just might want to have the Care of Trees phone number handy. They can't restore your power after a big storm, but they do have 24-hour emergency service, and they can take care of your damaged trees. Many people don't understand how dangerous it is to remove or prune storm-damaged trees yourself, especially if a tree falls on a car, other structures, power lines, or even other trees. The Care of Trees offers 24-hour emergency service to assist in performing the job safely while minimizing further risk to your property. The Care of Trees shares your enthusiasm for the many ways trees enhance the quality of your life. Invite the certified arborist at the Care of Trees to take a look at your trees. See thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220. 847-394-4220. The Care of Trees. Their business is people and their love for trees. Hey, thanks for the script there, Heather. Appreciate it. Are your allergies acting up? Trouble breathing, headaches, sinus pressure? You're tired, congested? Isn't it time to feel better? Enjoy being outside when things are blooming or shedding pollen? Breathe deeply and easily. Not with this music. So get rid of that. Get rid of the symptoms that complicate your life. Dr. Bonnie Flaster is an acupuncturist and chiropractor who helps people get rid of allergies without using drugs, shots, or needles. Call Dr. Flaster at River North Wellness Center, 312-642-7545, or check out her website, rivernorthwellness.com, to find out how to get your body feeling better so you can enjoy life again. Now we return to our previously scheduled music. That's what I call hyper music.
Yeah, it's upbeat.
It's upbeat. That's what we do on Sunday.
Well, when we get an hour extra of sleep and lots of coffee, you bet your butt.
Okay, we're going to pretend that Mike's really not in the room.
Yeah, he's not in the room trying to fix everything.
Yeah, you fix the computer because I'm just going to go to line one and bring in our meteorologist, Rick DeMaio. How you doing, Rick?
I'm doing fine, Mike. I thought I was going to talk to you an hour ago.
Ba-dum-bum. All right. Thank you, Rick.
I know. Try to veal it from last Friday.
let us see. I'm going to try something real quick because, Mike, we've been having some computer problems here.
Yeah.
And I'm going to see if this works now because he said, try it now. All right. We're going to just pop this up and give me a second here.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, nope.
By the way.
Nope. It doesn't. Still doesn't work, Mike. All right. So we're back to you, Rick. Where are you this morning?
What's that? I'm sorry.
Where are you this morning?
Oh, I'm in the car driving my son down to the School of the Art Institute. He takes a Sunday class, the architectural drawing and stuff like that.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So, it's kind of nice to be able to work for the School of the Art Institute because then you get a break on tuition as well. And they have some great classes there for students aspiring to become artists and architects. And they actually added another class, Mike, to their liberal arts science program, which is called Global Warming. I teach the climate change class, but they also teach global warming. It does it differently. I don't teach that class, but it does it differently from a standpoint of more so relating to sustainability and the environment, where I teach more current event weather type scenarios.
That segues into the article you sent me, and it's interesting that the AP article,
right?
They say global warming.
Well, you know what? I think everybody has been so trained to say those words, and I think it's up to people like you to take the information that you get from more reputable sources and talk more about climate change and climate variability. And clearly what has been going on across the country over the last 10 months is more of a signal of climate variability and climate change rather than global warming. So, you know, it's all in the 24/7 you know weather vernacular of what to say right and how to make sure it sounds right. I mean, it goes along with you know our now what you would call our 2-year political process, and not only electing a president, but nominating someone who wants to run for president. It's almost too much. You try to figure out at what point you know where you are.
And the report talks about the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change,
right.
And they're going to issue a new report in a few weeks. But as I mentioned earlier, the most interesting part of this, it says there's at least a 2 in 3 probability that climate extremes have already worsened because of man-made greenhouse gases.
Yeah, and you know what? I think people have to remember that. You know, the IPCC just doesn't, you know, meet every 4 years. They're constantly, you know, hooked up virtually throughout the world discussing potential issues and potential problems and issuing what we call mid-season reports. And one of those professors from the University of Chicago, David Archer, just wrote a new book, and I actually have an extra copy I can ship you one, which is called Understanding the Forecast. And it deals with understanding, you know, all the information, you know, that's out there. And I think this mid-season report talks more about, you know, some of the issues that I think are current and not waiting for something 4 years from now to, you know, kind of barrage the media and barrage the public with a lot of sometimes gobbledygook that people quite honestly, you know, don't understand. For instance, if they mention that the Earth is warming and it's snowing in Washington, D.C. in March, they go, well, why is it warming if it's snowing? You know, and you know, the American public is pretty smart, but when it comes to something as difficult as climate change and global warming to understand, you got to make it easy for them. Unfortunately, oftentimes you make it too easy and you end up painting yourself into a corner. So this report essentially looks at a lot of the things that have been going on across the United States, on either coast, down in the Gulf of Mexico, even in parts of Europe, and go, you know what, guys? It's still here. It hasn't gone away. Let's go back to the basics of what we were telling you, you know, in that NASA report back in 2008 and the other one where they issued a sub-report in 2010, and not lose focus on what the key objectives here are. And I think that's one of the reasons why this report is being issued.
Well, in fairness to everybody, okay,
right.
We live in a very complex world.
You think?
Yeah, well, you know, you say people don't understand how the climate change works, and they think, and unfortunately, a lot of politicians feel this way too.
Without a doubt.
They think they can have an opinion, and that's all that counts. I have an opinion about whether this works or this is happening or not, and that counts just as much as the science behind it. The same thing with, you know, I want to look at Wall Street and the banks. And
right.
and derivatives and hedge funds. I don't understand how those work. And a few people have been able to manipulate that system. You know, the difference there being that's calculated. That is malevolent, you know,
right.
Whereas climate change, people are trying to make livings by burning coal and doing other things, driving automobiles, and they're sort of unwitting participants in it.
Right. And Mike, who is it? Who is it that said Wall Street is drunk? Who was it that said that? Do you remember?
Wall Street is drunk?
I
think it was George W. Bush, wasn't it?
It was George W. Bush. But yet, it's amazing how short-sighted sometimes people like Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity and Mark Levin are, as they continue to spout this venom that it's not Wall Street's problem, it's the current administration's problem. Yet, it's amazing how short-sighted we are that we don't realize the fact that there was someone else holding the keys to the vault for about 8 years. And it's a shame how we've gone backwards in that period of time. And at the same time, when the current administration has been trying so hard to get certain things into law, the other side just simply said, N-O, N-O, N-O. And in a sense, you really don't get anything done. Everybody's basically just, you know, standing and sitting in quicksand. So I think the ultimate goal, and I think we got to really key in on this, the ultimate goal of information like this issued in the mid-season report from the IPCC is to get the young people on board again. I think a lot of them have been somewhat, you know, banged over the head and maybe in some degree disillusioned over, well, if it's not really happening now, it's not going to happen later. And that's not what we're trying to do. We're trying to educate people on the fact that, you know, still going towards some sort of alternative fuel, still putting money into solar power, still putting money into wind power, still taking our brains and putting them to use and not worrying so much about the almighty dollar and our pocketbook and how that governs everything, is the only way that you're going to fix things long term. And I hope that's one of the things that the information that I provide and, you know, shows like this provide will eventually work.
It's hard, though, to teach nuance. It's hard to teach people that, you know, if you're not spending the money now to curb these problems, you're going to be spending a lot more of it down the road. And and that's why the whole idea of gutting the EPA is so short-sighted.
You know, I mentioned this to three different classes. One at Loyola, one at Columbia, one at the Art Institute. And I all said, by the way, did you happen to hear Mayor Emanuel's budget address a couple of weeks ago? The city's Department of Environment no longer exists. Mike, how many people do you think out of about 150 students knew the answer to that?
You know what? That's why Suzanne Malik McKenna is on the show in the second hour, and we're going to be talking about the Department of the Environment and where the city of Chicago goes from here and what it means, because she was the former commissioner, and she's on her way right now.
But Mike, the answer to that was no one. No one knew about it, and that really disturbed me, because even though people were in classes where they wanted to learn more about environment, it also told me that I think a lot of the college students today really don't have their finger on the pulse of news that's important. And that really tells you something about, you know, it scares me about the whole political process over the next, you know, 10 to 12 months. Because I think, Mike, this time next year we'll be looking at Election Day weekend. That's frightening. That's really frightening.
Well, hey, Rick, it's not really their fault to a certain extent. The media just didn't cover this in Chicago.
I agree.
You know, in research for my show today, I went online looking up the articles that had been written about the disbanding of the Department of the Environment.
Right.
And there's like two or three. And the whole period that happened, it just sort of got buried.
Yeah, I think Kim Kardashian kind of has more press than the eliminated Department of Environment. By the way, is it true that do fruit flies mate longer than Kim Kardashian and Chris Humphries?
I didn't hear that, and I'm glad I didn't. All right.
it just goes to show that there's a lot of work to be done. But in any event, you know, getting back to the story about the IPCC, one of the things that was looked at also with the heavy snow that moved up the East Coast was the fact that there was a lot of tropical moisture from what was Hurricane or Tropical Storm Rena. And again, it shows you that when you can link up the tropics with storms in the mid-latitudes during what is perceived to be the cool season, and I think we talked about this a little bit last week, you end up getting dramatic changes with your weather. And that's definitely something that continues to be researched and talked about and thought about also in a more comprehensive way.
And it was interesting in that article that what they mentioned, however, though, that the snowstorm cannot be blamed on climate change, but you're begging to differ on that, aren't you?
Well, I think what they also said is that they can't make those conclusions yet. I think if you read really closely into that, remember, this was someone writing something about an AP report, but I have a feeling that when the real report comes out and you really look into it, it'll probably say that this can be and it might be and it could be. Boy, it sounds like Jack Brickhouse there, all right?
hey! All right, speaking of weather,
in the last few minutes that we have here, good-looking day today. We made it up to high of 58 yesterday. Today's temperature probably up to about 61 or 62. This is going to be what Gordon Lightfoot always, you know, termed as the gales of November. Very windy day in Chicago today. A very windy day tomorrow. There's a big storm system going through the upper Great Lakes. We're going to be on the warm and dry side. So a lot of high clouds today. High temperature pretty much right around 62 to 63. A better chance of maybe some clouds and some cooler weather tomorrow. Then rain arrives late tomorrow afternoon and probably half of the day on Tuesday and Wednesday. So essentially readings above normal between now and Wednesday with maybe about an inch or two of rain by then. After that, it looks like near normal conditions with a better chance of seeing much, much colder weather around here for the second half of November. But much of this week, Mike, should be temperatures pretty much near about 55 to 60 degrees.
Let me put you on the spot. When do you predict the first? You did this last year, and you were pretty darn close, as I remember. First snowfall in Chicago.
You mean measurable or trace?
Measurable.
Measurable snowfall, I would say about the 26th, about the 27th of November.
All right, just in time for Thanksgiving, right?
Yeah, not too far away, actually.
Okay, Rick, thank you so much. I hope you've got your hands-free device there, because I don't want you to get a ticket in Chicago.
No, I got my hands-free device. I'm fine. I'm waiting for the Department of Environmental Police to arrest me, so I'll be waiting many years for that, right?
Yeah, you will. You will. And, of course, Suzanne just walked into the room and gave you a wry smile, is what she did.
Give her my regards. I'll talk to you next week, Mike.
All right, take care, Rick. It's Rick DeMaio Weather. You can go to DeMaioWeather.com. You can go to my website, MikeNovak.net, and click on that link there. And we've gotten a bunch of tweets before we break for the news, which I hope shows up here, about quinoa and about
the food drive
grits. And grits. All right.
Where do we begin?
Start with the grit. Well, Kathleen did some things on grits, and so did other people. And I think one of them was a joke about how many grits?
It says corn kernels soaked in weak lye solution to keep them from sprouting in storage equals hominy. Grind them, and they become hominy grits. And then scrolling up.
Oh, was that Kathleen again?
That was Kathleen.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, grits is corn, grits is corn. And there was another one. Oh.
I just popped back in. Mm-hmm. I heard grits, the grit conversation.
Grits are made from hominy. We always call them hominy grits. That's from Oak Parker's.
All right. And then
My Skinny Garden gave us a twit pic of, how do you say, quinoa?
Yeah, quinoa.
Quinoa puffs in warm non-dairy milk with cinnamon. And it looks yummy. I'm sorry. I looked at it. I'm like, I could eat that
right now.
It
sounds pretty
good. I'm hungry. All this food talks, I'm starving.
Yes.
We had one suggestion to get Costco involved by taking donations in or around the stores because this person writes, I normally could donate half the food I buy and still come out ahead of spending at Jewel.
Wow.
She's got a point.
Well, I do some shopping at Costco, too, and a lot of what they do is good stuff, and you can get things like quinoa at a pretty good price.
I hope you get some. I want to try some now.
You want me to bring? I'll bring some in.
I want to try some.
I'm going to bring in a quinoa dish.
I'm willing to expand outside of grits
and rice.
You know,
that's what we do. Over the next couple of weeks, I'll bring in a quinoa dish, and you guys can try it, and you can tell me what you think.
I've never had Swiss chard. Chard.
All right, we'll bring in Swiss chard, too.
I'll do collard greens. You guys have had that?
Oh, collard greens, I love
collard greens.
Okay, I'll bring the good stuff.
All right, thank
all right,
you,
Michael.
Deal. And thank you for fixing the computer. I think
is it working right now?
We'll find out in
a
second,
won't
we?
We're going to find out.
I'm going to leave the room while you try.
All right. Suzanne Malik McKenna, the former commissioner of Department of the Environment, is up next. I hope you stick around for that conversation.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees.
Hey, it works!
Our business's people and their love for trees. And by Back to Nature Compost. Life doesn't start with the seed, it starts with the soil. Here he is again, Mike Novak.
Well, I guess we have to thank Mr. Sanders for fixing the computer. You know what he did? He just whacked it on the side. That's what you do with these things. You just whack them, and then they come around. They get that.
That's how you get projects done, by the way, too.
Oh yeah,
mm-hmm. You just whack people upside the head.
I like a rolled up newspaper.
I think for puppies.
No,
he likes to recycle it when he's done with the flogging.
I don't want to be that mean to a puppy, but to certain people,
Then you shred it and put it in your compost.
You know,
exactly.
Right. I whoop them upside the head, and then you shred it and put it in the compost so there's no evidence. So you can't, you know. So you brought in, that's Suzanne Malik McKenna in the studio, who brought coffee, who brought, what have I got here?
You've got a vegan muffin. Lemon poppy seed muffin.
Wow. Now, I can't, now, see, I wouldn't eat it on air, but Heather, of course, is.
I'm starving.
She's chomping.
I thought I had like another 30 seconds to chew, but I was wrong.
I'm very pleased to have you here, especially because it only took us like, you know, 6 months to put this visit together.
Did you like my joke this week? Sorry, I can't make it.
Oh, you burned
me. You're going to kill
me. You burned me so bad. She texts me like on Friday night, said, oh, I'm sorry, I'm not going to be able to be there.
And then I waited about 5 minutes before I sent them. Just kidding.
I looked at that, and I was already like texting furiously back. Like, how dare you?
The blood pressure in your body just shoot out your ears.
That must have
been funny.
It was fun.
I believe it.
Yeah, you totally got me on that one. Thanks.
You're welcome.
That's my pal.
Make sure you're on the ball there.
Oh, boy. Where do we start? I know that a lot of people have been looking forward to this. They've written me and they say, I want to hear this conversation with Suzanne. And I guess a disclaimer, we're friends.
Yeah.
I like her.
She'll still give me a lot of garbage anyway.
I do.
Let's be clear.
What do friends do? I mean, I won't even start with recycling, okay? I won't even go there. Not
good.
To start.
Would
I'll go there
please?
Later.
Fine,
yeah.
Fine.
Because
fine.
It's not your responsibility anymore.
Well, it doesn't matter. It doesn't mean I don't care about the environment just because I don't, you know. So there.
Well,
but I'll still debate you anytime, my
You know,
friend.
You were such a hack in office.
Yeah, that's a lot of people called me. Total bureaucrat.
You know what? That is not a word that applies to you at all.
Hey, if you are in a position of leadership and you're, you know, producing, you know, discontent within your office, you've got to be doing something right because it seems to be par for the course when you're in any sort of managerial thing.
Yeah, but in my office, I had a fantastic staff, many of whom will continue in the city. So that's one thing you can absolutely say for the Department of Environment. We just had brilliant, you know, motivated, really engaged people.
And many of them you brought into the department.
A lot of people came in either in the Natural Resources Division or moved up the ranks within their own divisions.
Mm-hmm. And I was just putting together the list of things that you were either responsible for in part or you fostered, excuse me, during your tenure at DOE and whether you were the commissioner or before then. Including Green Corps Chicago, Chicago Center for Green Technology, Tree Keepers. It was great seeing you at the Open Lands Luncheon the other week where you got to do the intro. And they had a big presentation there in honor of the 20th anniversary of Tree Keepers. And you and Scott Jamieson had a lot to do with putting that together, I guess.
Yeah, I was brought on to think about a new kind of program around urban forestry. They had the Neighborhoods program that was mostly focused on tree planting. You know, Mayor Daley came on board and was really engaged in that, of course. It was really, in essence, his first environmental effort, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And we felt that and that's kind of how I've always felt we should work, which is collaboratively. Let's figure out who the teams are, the partners are, how can we help each other, how can we leverage the resources. So we started working with the Bureau of Forestry. The mayor had brought them back up from a division stance, really giving them the resources that they needed to do all they needed to do for our parkways and our boulevards, et cetera. We partnered with them, with the Park District, with the Care of Trees, Scott Jamieson and Larry Hall, Joe McCarthy from the Bureau of Forestry, George Ware, God rest his fabulous heart, from the Morton Arboretum.
Yeah.
So just a ton of people who've done great work. The U.S. Forest Service were always there from the beginning, too. So there was a team of people. We brainstormed. We came up with the plan, and it's still going strong.
Did Mayor Daley like trees before this, or did you kind of talk him into trees?
No. He loved trees. Mm-hmm. He loved trees. He understood that trees and greening really had made a difference in communities. He could see it. Anyone can see it. They can see the pride. The quote I used at Open Lands, trees are the, you know, our trees in the street are old trees used to living with people. Trees that remember your grandfather's name, right? So they have a long-standing history in our communities. And the mayor understood that and understood it was good for tourism. And from there, you know, his expansive perspective really changed. Went from trees and shrubs and flowers to nature and wildlife and green buildings and beyond. I think we all grew up together. We all evolved together in our perspective about what made sense for the environment.
Well, that's a really good point. The whole environmental movement changed during the time, after Mayor Daley came into office and through the end of his term. Things changed quite a bit. And because we had the Department of the Environment, we were able to ride that wave, so to speak, in the city of Chicago. And so, like you said, I think you're right. A lot of people learned things and got more the people who were already passionate got more passionate and they got more done.
Right. I mean, green infrastructure is a good term that people weren't talking about 20 years ago, right? How we put in permeable pavers where the water goes through, how we use high albedo surfaces where it reflects the light. All the different kinds of things we can do for stormwater, rain gardens, rain barrels, all these types of things combined can really make our infrastructure work better. So we always say that trees are just as important oftentimes as a fire plug. Some people would really argue with that, but when you think about the contribution that they make, and the Morton Arboretum just did a study that says our trees are worth $5 billion in the Chicago region.
Yeah.
For all the things they do for us, besides the things that they do as far as beauty and neighborhood pride, et cetera.
Well, a lot of people consider trees part of the family. When you lose a mature tree, it's almost like losing
a member of the family.
Yeah. We have I'm inviting phone calls, 773-838-9278, to talk to Suzanne Malik McKenna, former commissioner of the Department of the Environment. Max, hang on just a second. I'm going to get right to you. But you gave me some information as you walked in the door that was kind of interesting. Why don't you tell the listening audience about that?
What did I say?
You say what's happening tomorrow in City Council.
Okay, so tomorrow in City Council, the ordinance will be heard that basically dissolves the Department of Environment.
And who do you think is going to stand up for it? Anybody?
Well, I think that the new leadership needs to get up and talk about what's going to happen as a result, and that will be the new Chief Sustainability Officer, which is the new position that Mayor Emanuel put together.
Mm-hmm.
So about 16 positions are going to be cut, and then the staff will all be dispersed into a range of departments.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing that that causes me concern, that I think one of the great things about the Department of the Environment is that it was, you know, even when I disagreed with you, and I didn't disagree with you on many things.
Sometimes you just disagreed to disagree. Let's be clear.
Not me. Never. That's not a road I go down.
I really like her.
Yeah.
I know
right
you do.
Right back at you, girlfriend.
Yeah. No, mostly it was that whole recycling thing that we talked about. In fact, that's what our question is on the phone in a second. Again, 773-838-9278 if you want to call in. But the thing about the Department of the Environment that was great is it was so visible. You couldn't dodge those questions because there you were. You were right out in front. This is what we're doing. And there's a kind of accountability that I'm afraid is not going to be in place for burying those functions in other departments.
I think there's definitely some concern about that. I would say that especially over the last 4 or 5 years, after we launched the Chicago Climate Action Plan, the work began in 2006. It was launched in 2008. We have some great departments doing great things. From Department of Aviation to Department of Transportation, Water Management, and a lot of our sister agencies, they're really doing great work. My concern has been, where does the core work, the research, the energy, the leveraging, the grant writing, and all those types of things happen that takes the new initiatives and moves them forward? From green roofs to green buildings to a lot of the community-based work like Green Corps and Chicago Conservation Corps. So The best part is a lot of those are going to continue in different places with their staff. But there's something about having all of those together. And indeed, the Conservation Corps was teaching about recycling, whether you liked it or not, Mike. They were teaching about compost.
No, I'm glad they're teaching about it.
I'm just giving you garbage. They were talking about water and rain gardens and rain barrels. They were talking about climate. They were talking about site cleanup and gardening and all those types of things. And that's what it really takes, is to have that team where you're crossing all these range of different issues. And when you disperse, that's not quite as easy to do.
And the Emanuel administration's argument is that, no, now we'll be involved in every department. But my feeling is, no, the focus is not going to be there. And perhaps they'll have other concerns. I mean, I look at Green Corps Chicago, and they're going to Chicago Department of Transportation. Is that what I hear?
Well, first of all, Green Corps Chicago is a job training program, and it started out as community gardening, and now it does household chemicals management, computer recycling, home weatherization, those types of things. So some of those things feel a little uncomfortable going to a department that doesn't necessarily handle those things. But from the greening aspect, they're doing great work. They now maintain the city hall roof. They maintain the medians. They're actively engaged in some of our green infrastructure. Janet Atarian and her Sustainable Streets group is doing amazing work. You should have Janet on if you haven't. She has the Sustainable Street Project along Blue Island. It's a mile long. It's the coolest thing going.
What's cool about it?
It's, well, first of all, it's high albedo, so it's highly reflective.
Mm-hmm.
It's permeable, so the water goes through it. They have wind turbines and solar. They have bio infiltration. Sorry for the long term, but they have curb cuts. The water goes into these locations that's filled with native plants as opposed to going into a sewer. That's a huge issue.
I see that at the Morton Arboretum in their parking lot.
Right. And then my favorite thing, which makes me sound smart, is photocatalytic concrete. And that is, in essence, a surface treatment on the concrete that actually can take the pollution in a column 8 to 10 feet above the concrete and make it benign. So photocatalytic. Catalytic is change. Photo is heat, sun. It's unbelievable.
I've read about that, and that still blows me away.
You can take those pollutants
in a certain area above the pavement and negate them or neutralize them.
Exactly. I mean, and that's being done for other things, too, like refrigerants. So a company came to town, and they're taking refrigerants and making them benign as well. So there's a lot of cool things. There's a lot of technology. And I think our staff from Department of Environment will be in other places and hopefully integrate it to the other departments as well.
Max, you didn't stick with us. I'm sorry. I'm just so fascinated by what Suzanne Malik McKenna has to say. And Max's question was about recycling.
It was basically about Blue Cart and why it's taken so long up to this point. And now that there's no Department of the Environment, what does the future hold for it?
We might as well go down
okay,
that road.
Mike.
Yeah, okay.
I've got a listener ask.
That's fine, and I'm always happy for people to ask me this question wherever I go, and they oftentimes don't like my answer. And you know, since Mike was calling me a bureaucrat earlier, did you not? No, you said hack. Excuse me.
Hack. Yeah, there's a difference.
Okay,
hack
excuse
is
me.
Much friendlier.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't know about that, but whatever.
He's a bureau brat, so I wouldn't worry.
That's
too.
Right, Whoa. And that's pretty good. And you know, and it's potatoes, I guess. So,
yeah.
Anyway, so recycling, it's tricky. I think that a lot of people with their, you know, aspect of knowledge about environment, oftentimes recycling is at the top of the list. It's something everyone can do. It's very important, and it is. When you take a look at all the environmental issues, I've always said to people, and they don't like this answer, you know, proportional effort for proportional impact. Okay, recycling is important. Landfill reduction is important, not continuing it. But when you look at the environmental impact and you look at how much time and money you spend on it, it's important. But climate change is more important. Dealing with our water pipes is more important. Let me back up and say that doesn't mean the whole recycling program isn't important.
No, and I will say that I've seen your presentation. I've seen your pie charts, and you use the pie chart, and you say, here's the impact of recycling versus the impact of other things.
Right.
And in the pie, it's a smaller sliver.
Well, and if you think about – so we did a waste characterization study over a couple of years. We followed the garbage trucks around. We went to all the waste transfer facilities. 14% of our waste stream in the city of Chicago is residential. 14%. Okay, people think it's a much larger proportion,
when
right?
you say residential, does that include high-rise?
It includes the single-family, 4 units and less.
Okay, so
then
we're talking Blue Cart. What is eligible for Blue Cart?
Right, but then you take high-rise, commercial, and industrial,
mm-hmm.
and that's another 26%. So when you start thinking about our waste stream, 41% is businesses, commercial, industrial, and residential. Then a total of almost 59% is construction and demolition debris.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's our rocks, our bricks, our
sure.
everything, right? The cool thing about that is in 2006, we passed a construction and demolition debris ordinance. Doesn't sound exciting, but we call it C&D with love. And C&D, we used to require 50% be recycled of your materials. We've gone and done some studies. We've followed all kinds of projects. We're seeing 85% recycled. So 85% of our 59% of our waste stream is being recycled. And it's also brought about businesses. There are rock crushing facilities in all kinds of places. So it's important to think about also the business implications of how we manage our resources as well. And I think something we always argued, and I think people understood and embrace, which is important if you're going to push forward environmental action, is you got to make it in a way that's also good for business. You got to demonstrate that environmental action is also good for business too.
And I have always lauded the city for the C&D ordinance. I mean, it's great that it's so successful, and that is one of the great triumphs. The problem is, in terms of people who live and work in the city, they don't see that. You can explain
till
the cows come home that you're doing that, but they look at their bottle and can and say, how come this isn't getting recycled?
Right. So let's jump into Blue Cart. First of all, I'll say that the commercial industry, for instance, the office towers downtown are doing amazing work, right? A majority of their waste is paper. The Illinois Recycling Coalition and others have really worked closely on taking as much of that as possible, and they have very high recycling rates. And our Green Office Challenge has brought people in to look at both recycling water and energy. Blue carts. So we have 600,000 households, okay?
And that's four units or fewer
that are the responsibility of the Department of Streets and Sanitation. 240,000 households are currently being served by the Blue Cart. The key thing about Blue Cart or any type of additional recycling is you need new trucks, you need new infrastructure, and in essence, you need a whole new set of people to take those routes. On the East Coast, so first of all, our waste here is $40 a ton to dump. On the East Coast, it's $160 a ton. In San Francisco, it can be anywhere from $160 to $180 a ton. So guess what? Recycling pays. It actually pays for itself by not having to dump it. Here, it costs. It costs dramatically to set up a recycling program. So not only do you not have anything to pay for the infrastructure and the labor and those types of things, but it costs an additional amount. Not to say we shouldn't do it, but you have to think about those things. We did a study over the last 2 years about how it could be privatized. Now, this is a lightning rod issue because you have union jobs and all those types of things mm-hmm. that are part of it.
In fact, you're before Daley left office, you guys were the ones that set up the six areas in Chicago that Rahm Emanuel has used.
Yeah, which is great. And that's exactly what you want, going from administration to administration. Take the research, figure out what works for you best, and hopefully utilize it. So what we found with that is if we broke our city into six regions, that way you can also put it out and make it competitive. And so one company doesn't get them all. As a matter of fact, a company can bid across the board, but you can give the other companies the opportunity to meet that bid. And if it's a seven-year contract, they can get the capital investments necessary to put the infrastructure in and do it. And so what Mayor Emanuel has done, from what I understand, is he's taken, instead of all six zones, he's taken a few zones, and he's having those private industry contractors pick up the Blue Cart and having the city, Streets and Sand, pick up the others. And they're going to review it and see who comes out more efficient, saves money, and is able to carry out the process necessary to serve the citizens of Chicago.
Well, I want to get back to that, but I want to also get to some of the phone calls. 773-838-9278. Suzanne Malik McKenna, former commissioner of the Chicago's Department of the Environment, which might be officially dissolved tomorrow in City Council. At least they'll be talking about it. I went to the website yesterday, City of Chicago, and it was already scrubbed from there. And it's not formally set to be dissolved until the 1st of January, but I guess they'll make it official tomorrow. Let's go to the phones. And Chester from Chicago, you're on the Mike Novak Show.
Yes, good morning, and welcome to your guest.
Thank you, Chester.
Okay, I'm originally from the southwest side of Chicago, near the studio over there in Archer Heights and formerly Brighton Park. And after about 15 years out there, I moved this side of Evanston. One of the biggest things that I've seen, and I know you're no longer actively involved with the Department of Environment, unfortunately, but I'm sure that there's plenty of people listening and you might have influence elsewhere. The biggest challenge I've seen, being in my 30s, late 20s and early 30s, I wanted to bicycle from the southwest side and enjoy some of the beauty of both the lakefront and also some of the western suburbs. But right over there at Archer and Cicero, Archer and Pulaski, we have, and we still have, no off-road bicycle paths. Chicago borders the Sanitary and Ship Canal, which is owned by the Metropolitan Water Reclamation District, the tunnel people. And the Chicago boundary kind of stair-steps all the way to Harlem. there is a tremendous population, number of people out there that are kind of don't, I think that they don't have the access to some of the environmental benefits of Chicagoland.
That's right. That makes sense. I think when, let's talk about the bike paths. Metropolitan Water Reclamation District has done some paths. If you look up near McCormick and all along the North Shore Channel, and so in certain places they have been contributing and working with the city. The Department of Transportation has done amazing work with bike paths, off-road bike paths. In some cases, you don't have that green infrastructure, the railroad rights of way or what have you. Negotiating with railroads is extremely challenging. They're federally regulated only. And so you either find friends and work with them or you don't. And they also have very, very strict easements for safety, too. So I think what Department of Transportation and Mayor Daley and now Mayor Emanuel are really focusing on are on-street paths. If you've probably seen on Grand, they've put in this totally separate path with poles along there so cars can't come into them. A lot of the other paths are just painted on Lincoln, Elston, lots of places there too. So they're looking at the infrastructure that's there. There's a cost associated. There's an enforcement aspect associated. And then there's just the downright engineering specs of how wide a pathway has to be, et cetera. So I think that, you know, biking constituencies have embraced what they've been doing and have been collaborating with them. There's a long way to go, but I think that they're on the right route, if you will.
Yeah, there's plenty of bicycle paths through forest preserves, et cetera. Once one gets to First Avenue and roughly the Sanitarian Ship Canal. But between, say, First Avenue and Halstead, there's pretty much nothing there.
Yeah, it's rough. It's absolutely rough. And I think that also then requires the surrounding western suburbs as well. So I think there's a lot of collaboration going on, and it's certainly not going fast enough, especially for the large-scale biking constituency we have here. But Active Transportation Alliance and others are working closely with the city, have been successful consistently in getting funding from the federal government, which is oftentimes the key thing that allows it to move forward. So I'd suggest joining the Active Transportation Alliance, getting engaged with them. They're doing amazing work. They just had their 25th anniversary. And they probably, more than anyone, they can give you the most information about how to get involved and be a good constituency member to move it forward.
And thank you for your work.
Thanks, Chester.
Thank you for calling, Chester. I'll tell you what, we'll put the link for Active Transportation Alliance up on our Facebook page so people can take a look at that. And I appreciate you calling. Have a good Sunday. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM, 773-838-9278. If you have a question for Suzanne Malik McKenna, who's in studio, I'm very pleased that she's here. Let's go to line two and bring in Sharon. Hi, Sharon. You're on the Mike Novak Show.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Suzanne Malik McKenna has been a champion for the Lake Calumet area for her years at DOE.
This is Sharon Wolek, isn't it?
Yes.
I did not place her on the show, I just want you to know. But I know that voice. You've been a great champion,
goodness.
Too, Sharon. You've been a great champion.
Well, I'll tell you, if you go
I try to do as much as I can, but it's never enough.
Well, Sharon and I actually talked the other day, and because she sent me an email out of the blue when she heard that you were going to be on the show, Suzanne, and she said, "Wow, Suzanne's done a lot for our area." And I said, "Hey, call in. You know, I think you should be part of the conversation." And I'm glad you had the time. I thought you were busy doing something this morning, Sharon.
I'm rearranging part of my schedule, but because this was too important not to say hello to Suzanne. And not to tell her how very, very grateful we are for all she's done.
Thank you.
We're crushed that she's not part of the new administration.
Which is, in my way of thinking, is insane. I certainly don't get it. And we're going to, I'm going to ask her that question in a second.
I was dumbfounded. I was absolutely dumbfounded.
Mm-hmm.
You know, changes, we have to all understand, though. You know, I was appointed by Mayor Daley. We're all used to a leader who was there for 22 years. Mayor Emanuel has absolutely every right to build his own leadership team. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I mean, he's got his own folks and he has relationships and wants to do it his way. And, you know, I have told him and his team that however I can help and support, I will, because the work of the Department of Environment and our environmental work overall is really important to continue. So, you know.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's why we're afraid that with the Department of Environment sort of being absorbed by another area, that, you know, there won't be the visibility that we need.
Well, I think you have, you're part of a very strong constituency in the Calumet region, from the Calumet Stewardship Initiative to the Southeast Environmental Task Force and those types of groups. It's really important that you stay engaged. You guys have been active with the Chicago Conservation Corps and Green Corps Chicago.
And I know that Sharon is part of the Chicago Conservation Corps.
Right, and yeah. I remember when you went through the class, as a matter of fact.
Yes.
But, you know, the Calumet region has a lot going for it, and the constituencies and the partnerships you have going are one of the key things. Both Green Corps and these other groups, the U.S. Forest Service, U.S. Fish and Wildlife. So we need to keep that constituency going. I know Governor Quinn is working with Mayor Emanuel on the Millennium Reserve. It's another way of demonstrating the importance of the Calumet region.
Can you talk a little bit, what is the Millennium Reserve?
Well, I don't know totally, but I do know that the Illinois Department of Natural Resources has been part of it. A lot of the players that have been there know that by giving it a designation, bringing up its importance, reminding people what a clear, exciting thing it is. You look at the Calumet region, it was the largest post-industrial location in the world post-World War II. Sorry about that. And it's now covered with 33 million cubic yards of slag, byproduct of the steel industry. Mm-hmm. Regardless, it's got 3,800 acres of natural open space with incredible species, some state and federally endangered, and these amazing assemblages of wetlands, the largest assemblage of wetlands in the Midwest. When you look at it, amidst 6,000 acres of brownfields or abandoned industrial property. Huge opportunity to bring those things together. The Ford plant, the just-in-time manufacturing facility, a lot of the great industrial things that are going on, and amazing work with the Army Corps of Engineers, Fish and Wildlife, Forest Service, and Department of Environment's teams who will continue some of this work. But 600 acres that have been put into public open space just in the past few years.
Which is great, but because that area of the city, and I've talked about it with, you know, Tom Shepard, Southeast Task Force, and others, that it seems like it's such a vulnerable part of the city that has just taken its share of hits, you know, as you say, with the brownfields and all the industrial, and now trying to put in a coal gasification plant that I'm not a particular fan of, and I know a lot of people who live down there aren't.
And a possible gun firing range next to the Hegwisch Marsh. We are frequently being assaulted in one way or the other. And so my concern, or my hope, is that being tagged the Millennium Reserve will give us some vague protection status against all this.
Well, and do remember that the Calumet Open Space Reserve, that all those sites will not be developed on. Some of the sites, like what you're talking about, which is basically the CID landfill area right near it, that's a different mm-hmm. story. It was considered potential future land, but all the properties that are noted in the Open Space Reserve are preserved. They'll stay preserved. They're not going to be developed, and that includes, you know, one of the biggest, best new acquisitions, Big Marsh, 290 acres. It's huge. So there's a lot of great work going on. The constituents are really important to keep it going. Keep it on people's radar screen, and I agree. Anything we can do to give it a designation to raise it in people's radar screen is really important. And your organization, Sharon, are really critical players in that.
Sharon, thank you so much for the call. I'm glad you took the time and were able to call in. I really appreciate it, and thanks for writing too.
And thank you very much.
And let me just say one more thing, which is the Chicago Park District's Natural Resources Group, headed up by Adam Schwerner and his team, are critical players and will be more so now. And we need to give them the support, too.
So we need to lean on Adam a little bit here.
We need to give him love. Let's put it that way.
Oh, is that it? Is
give
that how that works?
Some love.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, Sharon, take care and have a great Sunday.
Thank you.
This is the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk AM and FM. Suzanne Malik McKenna is in the studio. Our phone number is 773-838-9278. Let's go to the phones again. And Dan from Chicago on the north side. Hi, how are you doing this morning?
I'm good. I want to first thank you for all of the great things you've done. And I'm wondering if you will be leaving some kind of a central information point to keep an overview and points of contact for all of the projects that were once covered by the DOE so that people can track it and have points of contact and not get lost in the maze of the city.
I think that's a really good question, Dan, and I think that's one of the fears that people have that, you know, when all these projects were under one department and you could go to that department and you could look at the various things. Now it might be more scattergun. I'm not sure how you track this down. Do you have any information on that, Suzanne?
Not totally. I think it's yet to be determined how that's going to be done.
Okay. I hope it does happen because it'll be so important to at least have the information legacy that we can hook into.
Yeah. Right now, I'll tell you, Dan, I went to the website and it's kind of piecemeal at the moment. You have to sort of type in the specific program and see if you can track it down. Yeah, I know. I'm not happy with it. I think it stinks.
Well, Suzanne,
actually,
please leave something then.
Well, I think it's talking to the different players. I think the new chief sustainability officer is going to have a big responsibility to demonstrating that communications, and that might be a good recommendation to have some type of core communication effort that demonstrates all the different things that are going on.
Yeah.
It could be done under the Chicago Climate Action Plan website, which has a lot of these different pieces connected, and that's an incredibly important thing to move forward. Rick and Mike were talking about the IPCC, International Panel on Climate Change. Don Wibbles was one of our key scientists on the Climate Action Plan. He's still very actively engaged with that, using the Climate Action Plan as an international model. All those things interconnect, and I think the constituencies, for instance, the Conservation Corps, there's now 300 certified members across the city, and now they have regional hubs that they manage.
Okay.
Those are the types of things that I think will keep these things connected, but I think the city has a commitment to doing that too, and they'll probably need a little bit of extra support and suggestions to do that.
You know, that is something. Thanks so much for the call. I really appreciate it. That is something that I wanted to get to because that's on my short list of questions. Chicago Climate Action Plan was such a huge deal for you, and I know you considered it a keystone for efforts in the Department of the Environment. What do you and it's weird talking to you about this because you tell me, well, here's what I hear, because obviously you don't have a pipeline to the mayor about these issues. What do you hear from the people who are still working in the department?
You know, the whole group is working really hard to continue the work. They're getting moved into different departments, transportation, general services, public health, et cetera. And they're very committed to the Climate Action Plan. And the new chief sustainability officer is, too. I think it's one of their key responsibilities. So everything from energy efficiency to improved transportation option, waste and industrial pollution, alternative and renewable energy, and then adaptation, which is really critical. We've moved adaptation to the front of the pack internationally. Aaron Dernbaugh heads up that effort. Olivia Cohn, many others are doing that. And it's really amazing to see what we're doing as far as what trees we can plant anymore, what invasive species we need to look out for. That really connects also to the Prairie Research Institute, which I want to mention a little bit. But I think that they have a leadership role. The staff are still working on it. The public health department, which is bringing in our permitting enforcement, they've worked with over 1,500 industrial partners now, and they're looking at refrigerants. Huge opportunity. It pays for itself quickly. It's good for the businesses, saves them money. And refrigerants can be 2,000 to 5,000 times more deleterious, more damaging than carbon dioxide equivalent emissions.
Mm-hmm.
So, you crush a refrigerator, huge impacts on climate. So we found a way, working with industrial, small grants that they can do this work. It pays itself back in 3-6 months, a year, and then saves them long-term money as well because refrigerants are expensive. Mm. Managing them are expensive. So those types of things, we want them to continue wherever they are. And I think that's going to be one of the organizing forces around the environmental work moving forward.
You talked about the new chief sustainability officer, Karen. Is it Weigert or Weigert?
Weigert.
Weigert. Mm-hmm. I don't know, because she hasn't called me. She was at a Green Drinks at Foresight Sustainable Business Alliance a couple of weeks ago and got kind of put on the hot seat because it's no matter how much you talk about recycling and you can say, well, we're looking at it in the managed competition and so forth, and people say, when are we going to get recycling? I think, and this is, you know, and we've gone back and forth on this already on the show, but, you know, that's we got off a little bit, and I just wanted to bring it back to that. What do you think of the way the managed competition is working?
You know, again, I'm not, you know, privy to the active application of it. I have to imagine it's going to be pretty successful because the research that we did across the U.S. Demonstrated that that's going to be a really positive way to go. The big issue is the unions.
Yeah, and the unions. And you know, if you see the reports, they seem to be picking up the slack and working hard and trying to compete with the private companies.
And those are union positions. Well, the Streets and Sand is, yes. And then the private companies have union positions
right.
as well.
Right, but they're paid less, like $5 an hour less or something like that. That's what I've seen.
Well, they're probably paid less, but they're still it's definitely beyond a living wage. People can have a good quality of life in those types of positions. And I think there's also a discussion about grid-based garbage pickup, which is a bit of a political hot seat situation as well, because you lose some of the control at the ward level with your own staff, if you will. But it's been demonstrating both from street sweeping to garbage collection to plowing, et cetera, we could have a lot of efficiency that way.
Well, to show you, that is a difficult issue because I know and environmentalists know that a grid system is going to save money. It's going to save. It's going to reduce pollution. It's going to do so many good things. The opposite. The argument against it is: do we want to concentrate more power in the administration and less in the wards, where accountability is actually a good thing? If you can talk to your alderman and get things picked up. So what's the balance? My contention is always: all right, I'm sitting in the mayor's seat. What am I offering the aldermen to make up for the loss of that accountability they can have with their constituents?
Well, as an example, there was a pilot with street sweeping, and you can grid off street sweeping. And as a result, the aldermen could still get a street sweeper of their own for 2 days a week because there's that much kind of savings. So, you know, there's a lot of operational aspects to it. Department of Streets and Sanitation's really at the table thinking these things through. They always have been a major partner in this. And have been a major driver in recycling as well. So I think they're thinking about it. It seems to me that the new mayor is very committed to figuring out how this works. When you've got a difficult budget, you know, there's a lot of things you gotta negotiate. And I think there seems to be quite a commitment. It's all about the money. It really is.
While we're on the subject, before we break here, let's go to Dave in Madison, Wisconsin. Dave, how are you?
I'm good, Mike. As usual, a fantastic show. And listening to your guest, What a loss to lose that Department of Environment, and I'm hoping your guest stays active and committed.
Let's stop right there. Oh. You are. I mean, this woman, are you kidding me? Of course she's going to remain active and committed. I hope it's in this area.
I love this city. I love the work that everybody's doing. I love the collaborations. I see Mike's Mila mug on the back, Midwest Ecological Landscape Association. There's all these groups working together. There's still wonderful staff working on this. I think, you know, the train has left the station. We need to support what's moving forward. And I think I can tell you I will be engaged. I love the city. I love the environmental movement. I love the grassroots work. And I love also the connection to business. And that's really a critical aspect to make it successful for the long haul. So it takes a village, if you will, to make all this stuff happen. And we need everybody to participate.
Well, it does. I'm glad to hear that. I grew up in the South Side, Homewood, and back way when I was at the University of Illinois, I did a study on what hazardous waste sites were around us in Homewood and Chicago Heights. Mm-hmm. Over 100 sites.
Yep.
And if you go down there, you look at the TRI, the toxic release inventory in Chicago Heights, we're still pouring out dioxins and all sorts of things. So we do have our work cut out for us, which is one of the reasons I called to support. I agree with you completely on the recycling. One of the things we found with recycling is that it often, you know, it's important, it's critical. We have curbside pickup up here, although the new governor wants to destroy that. But the bottom line is, it's not.
Wait, I got to ask you that. He's trying to take away curbside recycling in Wisconsin?
In the budget, they were gutting the recycling, and in fact, several Republicans surprisingly stepped up as well. So right now, it's still in place, but they're looking to to gut everything. And they just had a meeting last week on how to dismantle all of our water laws, of 224 years of water law. And so these people up here are anti-environmental ideologues. And thankfully, we don't have that in the administration in Chicago. But one quick question I just wanted to ask or comment. One of the things I find when they dismantle an agency and disperse the people in other agencies is that there's not a critical mass. It's important to have people that are next to you, supporting you, and an agency that has that critical mass, because what will happen is these folks, the good people that will be dispersed, will have a much harder time within the context of a different organizational culture. And they don't have that oomph that you need when you got 15 people in an office that can provide a unified front.
That can be challenging. I think, the staff at the Department of Environment needs continued support and love. And I think the departments they're going into, David Reynolds is head of Department of General Service. He came from the Department of Environment. Rosie Andolino at Department of Aviation, a green goddess when it comes to aviation work. Gabe Klein at Department of Transportation understands these things. And remember that there are staff there that we've collaborated with for years. So I think what's really important is to continue to say how important it is to support those programs, to ask for them, to demonstrate the value at the community level and across the city, and again, the economic value as well, to keep it going. It will be challenging. Our team is going to have to figure out how to stay in touch and collaborate, and I think it's possible. But the leaders, Aaron Dernbaugh, Kevin Schnoes, Kimberly Worthington, Vic Rojas, Jennifer Hesse, they're doing amazing work, and they need to keep getting the support necessary. And I think the places they're going, it's going to be challenging, but I think they can make it happen.
Oh, that's great to hear. Thank you very much.
Hey, Dave, I wish you lived in Chicago so you could keep the pressure on the mayor, too. I think we just... Wow, that was weird. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. And our number is 773-838-9278. We've got a few more minutes with Suzanne Malik McKenna. Give us a phone call. George, I'll get to you in a second. I have to take care of some biz here. Here's a tip from the Care of Trees, and primarily because Suzanne Malik McKenna is in the studio today, I want to talk about the ways that the Care of Trees gives back to the Chicagoland community. They support organizations like Openlands Tree Keepers. Suzanne helped start Tree Keepers. I'm a tree keeper, number 417, reporting for duty. And I know that the Care of Trees shows up for every course and teaches average citizens how to make the urban forest healthier. The Care of Trees also works with Green Corps Chicago, a job training green industry program, which is run out of the Center for Green Technology. The Care of Trees speaks to garden clubs and teaches their members how to preserve the greatest plants on the planet. Is there a reason why you wouldn't make the Care of Trees your permanent partner in enhancing the value of your landscape? Invite the certified arborist at the Care of Trees to take a look at your trees. See thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220. 847-394-4220. The Care of Trees. Their business is people and their love for trees.
Allergies acting up, trouble breathing, headaches, sinus pressure, you're tired, congested. Isn't it time to feel better? Breathe deeply and easily. Get rid of the symptoms that complicate your life. Dr. Bonnie Flaster is an acupuncturist and chiropractor who helps people get rid of allergies without using drugs, shots, or needles. Call Dr. Flaster at River North Wellness Center, 312-642-7545. Or go to rivernorthwellness.com to find out how to get your body feeling better so you can enjoy life again.
I do want to mention...
Oh, here we are. You wanted to mention something coming out of the Care of Trees, and I unfortunately cut you off.
That's perfectly okay. I just want to say thanks to the Care of Trees and your other supporters for the show. It's hard to get sponsors sometimes.
Oh, sorry. you just hit a nerve.
The groups that have continued to support the show are really important, and they're all contributing not only to the show, to a lot of things across the region. So I say kudos to them and thank you.
Well, and I love my sponsors, and I think they're just fabulous.
And they love you too, Mike.
Well, I try to be nice to them. I do.
They're the ones you should be nice to.
Yes, that's how
absolutely.
It works, buddy.
Oh, is that it?
That's
oh.
the politic of it, my friend.
Oh, yeah. How about my sponsors? All right, there
they're
we go.
Wonderful.
Bing, bing, bing.
In case you didn't notice, the powers that be have been messing with daylight again. In this case, I'm talking about the guys who run golf courses. Regardless, November has arrived, and you want your indoor and outdoor plants to survive whatever nature throws at us this season. You need the November-December issue of Chicagoland Gardening Magazine. Everybody knows that you're supposed to keep your tools as sharp as my wit, but nobody seems to do it. Maybe it's because my wit isn't that sharp. There's a story that takes you step by step through the sharpening process, and it features my friend Richard Tilley from the Wicker Park Garden Club. Aren't they wonderful
people?
Oh
my gosh, they're amazing. What a great... Great
I
park.
Love those people.
Yep.
And the other week I was at their Boo Palooza reading stories to the kids, scary stories in broad daylight, which doesn't work very well. But that, you know.
One of our former colleagues in the Department of Environment, Joyce Coffey, is really active there too. They do great work.
They do fabulous work. Do you want to grow microgreens all winter long indoors? There's a story on that. And it features my friend Vicky Nowicki from Downers Grove. Of course, there's my column on the inside back page. It doesn't feature anybody I know. What do you think I am, a name dropper? Pick up a copy of Chicagoland Gardening Magazine on newsstands all over Chicago, but it's a lot easier if you subscribe. Call 888. It's a great Christmas gift, by the way, or holiday gift if you're not into Christmas. 888-265-3600. 888-265-3600. Or go to ChicagolandGardening.com.
Looking for a housing investment that can pay big dividends? Remodel your kitchen or bathroom. You'll freshen up your home and add value to it, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for all your remodeling needs. Kitchens, bathrooms, master suites, and more. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
Yesterday, I was up before the dawn.
Sing along, Suzanne.
Woohoo, Supertramp.
And I really have enjoyed my stay. But I must be moving on.
This is in honor of you.
Oh, man. Thanks, buddy.
Oh, sure.
Wait, is it the tramp part or moving on?
It's the moving on.
It's the super part.
Okay.
Yes. There you go.
Nice job. That was very politic.
That's why he keeps me here.
That's right. She comes up with a good line every now and then. And, of course, the name of the song is Goodbye Stranger. So,
Oh, man.
I know. It's rough. We're going to get to a couple of things. First of all, we've gotten tweeted by Ron Wolford at Illinois Extension.
An amazing person.
He's just, I don't know how, have you, you're not a big fan of Twitter, are you?
What?
Okay, there you go. What about Facebook? Because we've had people, wait, I think that's our next question,
yes,
isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, yes, yes.
All right, let's go to the phones and George from the north side of Chicago. Good morning, George.
Good morning.
And your question is about that very thing, isn't it?
It is. My question to Suzanne is, you know, she's such a rock star in the sustainable environmental community. People are, you know, want to know what she's doing. What are your plans, Suzanne, as far as, like, do you have a Twitter account? Do you plan on getting a Twitter account, a Facebook page?
You know,
what you're doing?
I think, you know, I've been getting a lot of pressure from some of my friends to, you know, come into the 21st century, and I got to tell you, it's slightly challenging for me because.
But you text. You text like crazy.
Well, I text my buddies and give them a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
But I think I'm looking at that. I am on LinkedIn, which a lot of people have kind of said that I have to do.
I don't know how to use. I'm on it. I got like 300
connections. Dude, I'll help you with that. Okay.
Oh, can you
I'll
help
you with
one?
That.
Okay,
maybe
good.
You can help me tweet.
All right,
tweet,
I can do that.
Tweet. But anyway, George, thank you for that question, and I am considering it. It's important to stay connected with everybody. The thing about Facebook, it's like, you know, you write something and it goes out to all these people. That seems, I don't know, it seems a little funky.
It is a little funky.
Yeah.
People want to know what you're doing. You've got to set up something, you know, that people can follow you and see where you end up landing, or, you know, you're just too important for the community just to not let people know what you're doing every day.
He's right, you know.
Oh, fine. All right, I'm going to work on it. Does somebody want to tutor me on that? That would be just
George,
lovely.
We will keep track of her, and at the very least, I will keep track of her and let you folks know where she. And right now, you're getting your PhD.
I'm finishing my dissertation at Northwestern, working with the Nathan Cummings Foundation to look at exactly what we're talking about. How do we link environmental action with public health and housing? Really sustain the important work at the community level. You know, this is my love. You know, this is my passion, and I'm still going to be engaged.
And I don't know how you wouldn't end up with a big, you know, six-figure job somewhere. I mean, they're all listening, and if I were one of those companies, I'd be camped out on your doorstep, say, please come work for us. But
that's so lovely of you to say.
George, and we will keep track of her. Thanks for calling.
Go on rain barrels and those types of things, George.
Yeah, before we go, two things we're going to mention. First of all, the one you just were telling me about during the break.
Prairie Research Institute. I have to talk about this. I am so geeked up about it. I'm on the advisory committee. It's a state advisory committee. They just moved to University of Illinois a few years ago. They used to be under the Illinois Department of Natural Resources. They have everything from the Advanced Energy Technology Institute to these surveys that some people don't even realize exist. The State Geological Survey, the State Archaeological Survey, the State Water Survey, the Natural History Survey, and the Sustainable Technology Center. What do these groups do? They take $15 million from state money, turn it into $60 million grants. There was an amazing presentation on carbon sequestration. The largest carbon sequestration project in the world is happening in Peoria in partnership with ADM. It's amazing research. It could change the world. It could take carbon created from 4 or 5 coal plants. And then when those plants go away, imagine that kind of work it can do.
You know, there's so much technology that would be so useful to us if we would only just get behind it. You know, that and biochar and other things.
Right. And there's research being done on biochar as well from the same group. Natural History Survey, critical people looking at Asian carp, purple loosestrife, all these types of invasive species that are only going to get worse here if we don't come up with the technology necessary. The State Water Survey, all the hydrologic work, we talk about the pipes in Chicago, we talk about rain barrels, those types of things. They understand how the water moves on the surface and below. This critical work, oftentimes you don't know about it, right? But it is happening, and it is what's driving so much of the work that's not only preserving our environment, but improving it in the long haul, in context, again, with the business and the changing climate and those types of things. So I want people to check them out. Go on the website. I know Mike put a link there. But the Prairie Research Institute, again, part of the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign, my alma mater.
And they're trying to get funding like everybody else.
Right.
And, you know, and it's like Extension, where they turn some money into a lot of money because of the good they do.
Exactly.
And, you know, Extension is that way, and that budget has been slashed in the last couple of years, and it's been reorganized. It's frustrating to people who are trying to do all this good work.
Right. There's 1,000 employees that are part of Prairie Research Institute. Many are post-PhDs, master's students, et cetera. And the work they do, again, is absolutely critical for our world and for our floodplains and developing and all those types of things and looking at energy and water. This is the new technology that we need to embrace, not only for our planet, but for a future economy in Chicago and in the region. And that's what's so exciting about it. With a little bit of dollars, they turn it into four. And we need to be aware of what they're doing, support what they're doing, and check out everything. You will be blown away when you think of all the things we address on a daily basis, where the Prairie Research Institute has advised it, helped us figure out solutions, et cetera.
And I've got that link on this week's show on the Mike Novak show, or MikeNovak.net, this week's show. Before you go, I'm going to sandbag you here. I want to know.
Oh, dude.
Yeah.
Well, that's not a nice way to end this.
Yeah. Well, I
spit it out, man.
Let's go, dude. Lay it on me.
What did Rahm Emanuel tell you when he called you in?
That's rather personal, don't you think?
You don't have to give me the exact words.
He said, I'm not going to say it. The bottom line is they wanted to go a different direction.
Well, when they tell me that, it's usually we want to go in the direction of talented this time and knowledgeable.
But that's not to say that that's not the direction they're going. Let's be fair. Okay, he's got an amazing team. Their policy chief, David Spielfogel, has done a lot of really interesting things. And our deputies in the Department of Environment and a lot of our staff are staying. That's a smart choice, right? They're keeping some incredible people, and they're continuing to bring in grants, et cetera. So they wanted to go a different direction. There is no way that I could have stayed there and disassembled the Department of Environment.
Mm-hmm.
I would have kicked and screamed and gotten thrown out physically. because it was too much in my heart, right? So the deputies and the teams there, they had to do this really hard work and move it forward. But they're there, mm-hmm. Most of them. Again, 16 jobs lost, et cetera. But they were going a different direction, and I have to respect that and support what they're doing, and we all need to continue to support that and advocate for the things that we think are important.
Well, see, this is why you're where you are, and I am where I am, because
is smart and talented.
Yes, she is, mm-hmm. and savvy. And
she's going to be a doctor.
There's no point in burning bridges. You know, you need to keep building them. Not a bridge to nowhere, my friend, but bridges within the city and beyond if we're going to be successful. And it's no point sitting around complaining about it. We need to be solution-oriented, and I think that's what we're going to continue to do.
One of our tweeters just wrote, this is great, if you are not on social media, you will no longer be relevant in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Wow.
I don't know if that's exactly true, but it helps.
Hey, man, I'm not very technologically oriented.
We'll
I'm happy to have somebody tweet in or Facebook in or whatever those electronic things are and show me how to do it and help me out.
And the same person wants to put Chicagoland Gardening on iPad. Well, I'll talk to the powers that be. I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon.
I also have to mention Shelley DeFranco, Catherine Game, Troy Peters, a lot of our team members in the communications group at DOE who've done amazing work on websites and they were tweeting and Facebooking on our behalf when I didn't even understand what it was. So, and our Conservation Corps blog, all those things are out there. People need to connect to them and learn more.
And I got a bunch of those links on my website. I hope you go there. If you heard part of this conversation, it will be up on my podcast by the evening probably, and you can pass that along, and I hope you do. Thank you, everybody, for sending us messages today. Thank you, Suzanne Malik-McKenna, for your service to the city and to the environment.
Thank you to the Department of Environment staff. Wishing you lots of love and luck, and I'm always there to support.
Next week, actually, I might be talking more about recycling. I think Mike Mitchell from Illinois Recycling Association. I'm going to try to get Chris Sauvé from Streets and Sand on. Until then, go green or
go home.
We'll see you next week.